messy. Liquor all on it. Tobacco had run down his mouth and dripped on his clothes, and he had laid out all night. He was a pitiful sight and terrible to be around. But he got on the bus, and he sat next to this young nun. And when he sat down, she turned her head, trying to not get so much of the smell. And surely she didn't want to look at him. But finally he said, "Ma'am, could I ask you a question?" "Yes, what is it?" "Could you tell me what causes arthritis?" "I sure can. Drinking, tobacco, lay it out all night." "Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I noticed in the paper this morning the Pope come down with arthritis." Well, sometimes we don't cut somebody else's water off, do we? Sometimes it backfires. But we are all good at trying to outmaneuver the other one. I want to say to the young folks here, it sure does look good seeing you. I'll tell you what, when you see young folks, stay with it. Last time in the States, 85 churches. Like most churches, it was two and a half years, I would be in the church. So I'm jump. And every time, a large quantity, a large number missing, you want to ask, "Well, where are they?" They don't come anymore. "Did they go to another church?" "No, just dropped out." It's sad. Sad. They just dropped out. I want to tell you young folks, it does my heart good to see you, seeing another generation continuing on. I don't mind controversy. For some reason, people seem to pretend that I thrive on it. Now, I don't, but they make out like that I'm of that type. And I don't try to be. But I think we need to get down to all the Word of God. I think we make a lot of statements sound good that later on can be easily disproved. And we catch these statements and we make them until we find out, hey, that's really no truth to that. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of the gospel, because that is something that we seem to know so much about. We've heard gospel all our life. To help us to remember it, they named the first four books of the New Testament the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of... And then people say, you know, it's in the four Gospels. And that's where it is defined in most books and all. You'll find that in the Gospels. Yet then we pick up that terminology and we begin to apply it to everything. Now that's gospel truth. You've heard that. That's gospel truth. Seemingly, the word had in its original meaning good news. Good news. Even good tidings. Something that could be heralded around. The good news. The gospel. And then you hear him say, well, there's not but one gospel. And if it's another one, it's a fake. But I want to share with you what the Bible teaches on the subject, gospel. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we can go through the scriptures on this subject of the gospel and find out how many gospels we really got. Now folks, what is good news at one period of time may not be good news at another period of time. So the good news is always there, but it changes as what is good news. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee's, John his brother. In a ship was Zebedee's, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship, and their father followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases amongst the people. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you once again for the privilege and the opportunity together with the saints in your house. I pray that, Lord, you'll open our hearts and our minds to Bible truth, that the Holy Spirit of God would guide us here tonight, that, Lord, we can fully understand your gospel program for mankind. Thank you that the Lord Jesus started the gospel, for it states that he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Thy will be done, we ask and pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Here it says, he states, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he states down in verse 23, he says there to them, he said that he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now sometimes it will say kingdom of heaven, and other times it will say kingdom of God. There is a difference, but very little. The kingdom of God encompasses everything, and the kingdom of heaven is a large portion of that kingdom of God. The term kingdom of heaven is only found in the book of Matthew. But there is a slight distinction. God's bigger than heaven. Amen? Kingdom of God encompassing of all. But I wanted you to note, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, is at hand. Now, in order to have a kingdom, you need a king. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be king. In the Old Testament terminology, he would be called the Messiah. Messiah meaning the anointed one. The Messiah is coming. The one that's been anointed of God, appointed of God, empowered by God to do what that program calls for. The problem was, the Jews thought that program was a knight in shining armor that would physically rid the nation of Rome and all other enemies. Make their kingdom the greatest here on earth. Would do it all by the sword. But that was not God's program. So they began to state, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is now. Now, Matthew was not the only book recording that. And Jesus was not the only one having that message. That's the identical message that John the Baptist had. John had stepped forth and stated of Jesus, "Hey, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The message was exactly the same. Gospel. Good news. The kingdom's here. Because the kingdom's come. Through the king, whom they both are going to declare to be Jesus Christ. But you know what happened? They did not accept their king. No, they did not accept their king. They rejected their king. They crucified their king. They made a mockery of their king. Oh, they wanted to let you know that they're pretending kingship, for they put the royal purple robe on him, only to beat him and carry him out and crucify him. Even Pilate, You say he's the king. That was the gospel. That was the good news to the nation Israel. The time that you had waited for, nearly 4,000 years, that time has come now. The oldest book of the Old Testament is the book of Job. It does not go farther back in time, but it was written before the first five books called the Pentateuch. For Job lived before Moses, who wrote the first five books. And do you know what Job stated? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and someday will stand upon the earth. So that was knowledgeable nearly 4,000 years back, that he is coming. Now he has come. Good news, gospel. The king is here. Now we can have the kingdom, receive the king. But they didn't do it. They rejected the king. So the gospel is going to change. No more kingdom offered. When you crucify the kingdom is postponed. We have now had the kingdom postponed for about 2,000 years. What you found thereafter in the Gospels, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's coming. They didn't get it. It's still ahead. Still future tense. Even today, the kingdom is not here. Jesus Christ is not in the White House. He is not ruling. So the gospel began. Began as the gospel of the kingdom. But I want you to know something about that gospel of the kingdom. It is not the same as the gospel today. Listen to what he says in Matthew 10 concerning this new gospel. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom was a Jewish kingdom, and Jesus was a Jewish king. He came as a Jewish king to set up a Jewish kingdom with its capital, Jerusalem, which is Jewish. Don't go to the Samaritans. That was the neighbor that was a half-breed, half-Jew, half-Gentile. And don't go to the Gentiles. They have no part in the kingdom. No part. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to those Jews that are backslidden. Those that have entered into a covenant, the males by circumcision. Those that entered into a covenant with God but had backslid, had left God. You go to them and tell them, the king is coming. The kingdom is at hand. They can have it now. Go only to Jews. Because Jesus is a Jewish king. He is of the bloodline of King David. He is ruling on the throne of Judah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the gospel of the kingdom is being preached by John the Baptist, by Jesus Christ. But don't go to the Gentiles. Go to Jews only, for they only are waiting for a coming Messiah. Am I looking for a kingdom? Am I looking for a king? No. Why? I'm not looking for a Messiah. That's Jewish. That was the first gospel. That was the message of all prophets of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist, forgetting about the divisions we have in the Bible, just forget about this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. John the Baptist was your last Old Testament prophet. He had exactly the same message as all the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist did not preach death, burial, and resurrection, for he died before the Lord died. We got a new gospel coming. A parable is given unto them. Matthew chapter 21. The parable says that this owner owned a vineyard. It was 100% his possession. But he allowed these hired individuals to care for it, to take care of. But when he realized that things were not going right, he sent to them messengers, men of authority, to take control over. And the Bible said that they killed him. So finally he said, I'll send my son. Surely they will honor my son. He sent his son, and what did they do to the son? They killed him too. That is the picture of the earth being the Lord's, but man not giving him the authority and the reverence that belonged to God on his earth, not thanking him for the air they breathe and the water they drink, the food they eat. So as a result, he said, I'll send my prophets to tell them, thus saith the Lord, and to kill the prophets. Well, I'll tell you, they'll honor my son. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, and they killed him too. So, are we preaching the kingdom today? No. Is the gospel we preach today for everybody? Sure. So we've got a change. But they had to reject their king before there would be a change. Look at Luke 19. And we will see the change. Luke 19, verse 14. Luke 19, verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us. The climax, the end of the offering of the kingdom, was on Palm Sunday. Jesus, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, got upon a colt, entered into the city of Jerusalem as prophesied, and when the people saw, they were glad. The people shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna meaning saved now. They were throwing the palm branches. The people were all ready to receive. But when he got there to the chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, they in unison had one thing to say. Who is this? Now in English, it's who is this? That's to imply to a person who did not know that they didn't know who he was. Oh, they knew who Jesus was. They had been trying to catch him and kill him for nearly 4 years. They all knew who he was. In the Greek, the statement actually is, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is riding into the city on a donkey trying to fulfill prophecy that the Messiah would come that day? And it is wrong for us to believe that he is the Messiah. Who does he think he is? That was the final rejection. The offer of the kingdom is over. Now a new gospel.
good news. It appears that it's all bad. They apprehend, they beat, they crucify. Who dies, they bury. As far as they're concerned, they're finished with him. But God's got a new gospel, good news. The definition of that gospel is found over in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is your resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now what is the gospel? Look in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And then he tells you the three points of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our gospel message. That was not John the Baptist's gospel message, for there had been no death, burial, or resurrection. The good news was the King is here, and the kingdom is ready to be set up. But the key of the King. Which means they missed the kingdom. So the good news is death, burial, and resurrection. Tell them that Jesus has died for their sins. That He has been raised to give them power and answer all their prayers. For He will be on the right hand of the Father. And He will make intercession for them. The gospel. We call it the gospel of grace. Not the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of grace. And that's what you and I spend our time always telling people. I don't go to any sinner and I say, hey, look, you recognize God and believe in God and I'll give you a kingdom. I don't do that. You'll get a kingdom. You'll be in the kingdom. You'll be part of the kingdom. No, no, no. I tell them, I said, Jesus died for you. He rose for you. I said, He'll save you today. And then you'll have the privilege of calling on His name daily in prayer. That is the gospel. Let's go a little over to Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 18. We're going to find out about our friend Peter. Acts 11, 18. Acts 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. This is the first and the beginning in which God's program left the Jew and went to the Gentile. I tell you, Peter says, that God now is doing the same thing for the Gentile that He had done for the Jew. God's program has changed. It has become an encompass of everybody. It will take in every soul. It's a whosoever will gospel. It's not the lost sheep of the house of Israel anymore. Now go to the Samaritans. Now go to the Gentiles. Tell them the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Here's Peter's testimony again, that God puts no difference between the Gentiles and them, doing the same work of grace in the heart of each one of them. No difference. Now, we will find out with Paul the same thing is true. Acts chapter 20. We're leaving Peter and finding out the testimony of Paul. chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles, while Peter was the apostle to the Jews. I've been called to preach the gospel of grace, which is of God. So we find it has three titles or names. It is called the gospel of grace, the gospel of God, and the gospel of salvation. That's the names it has in the New Testament. We're in the gospel of grace time now. The message is good news. The message is death, burial, and resurrection, with no promise of a kingdom. First of all, we may not live long enough to see the kingdom. And secondly, if there is a kingdom, we're going to have to put up with a bunch of Jews, because it strictly will be a Jewish kingdom, for it will be set up in Jerusalem. And the Bible said when Jesus sits on His throne in Jerusalem, all nations shall flow to Him. It will be the capital of the world. And He will rule with a rod of iron. It is not flexible. Huh? It is not flexible. No, He'll rule with a rod of iron. You will not bend the laws of God. You will not break the laws of God when Jesus rules. You will forfeit your life during the kingdom when He's on the throne. You will have to keep His laws. So today, we're not preaching king or kingdom. It's not even mentioned by the Apostle Paul in all his epistles. No, it's gospel of grace. It's no gospel of the kingdom. Yet as we go through, we find the message that if you repent, you then will be baptized and become part of a local body of believers. But at the same time, when you repent of the gospel of grace, at the moment you repent, at the moment you are saved, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by which you are placed into Christ. And the term is, you have been made to sit in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The reason you can believe in eternal security, you're already seated there spiritually. You're already there. And He will then baptize Jesus into you, so that Jesus can say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's ever present. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the baptism that occurred by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation has securely put that sinner in the body of Christ that will be the bride of Christ when His life is over. You and I are part of the body. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I'm in the body. By being in the body, I have a function. By being in the body, I'm an arm, a finger, a leg, a foot. I have a job to perform as part of the body. And if everybody saved gets in and does their part, there is a complete body that is fully functional, getting the job done. The reason churches have so many problems, so many members are not present doing their job. And the body is ineffective. We're all members of that body. We all have a job to perform. He has not only saved us, but He's given to every one of us a gift. Now, the Lord's got more sense than you and I. And He sure is way ahead of the government. Because the Lord will never go over this one church and get 20 people in a row the same gift so that they only have one gift and have trouble functioning in the church. No, he gives various gifts to each congregation so that each congregation will have the gifts it needs to continue on. The gospel of grace, the church, all being in the body of Christ, with one message today: lost sinners, salvation is free. Whoever, whenever, wherever. But there is a second gospel going on today. First we had one gospel, gospel of the kingdom. But today we've got two going at the same time. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. There are others. It also grows. It also looks just like wheat. But when it comes time to harvest, it has no fruit. So today there's a lot of sowing, but it is not truth. It is not gospel. What they're sowing is bad news for sinners. We have a lot of false preaching and false teaching going on today. It is what we would call the devil's counterfeit. But there's one thing for sure, the devil is very wise. He never depends upon all error. With this preaching of the gospel that we have today, they have truth and error mixed. For instance, the Catholic Church may be wrong in a lot of errors, a lot of areas, but let me give you an example. They're right on the virgin birth. They're right on the deity of Christ. They're right on the deity of Christ, the second coming. They believe He's coming again. They sure do. They're right on Him being King. They're right on the Trinity, folks. They're right in a lot of areas. They're right on abortion. They're right on divorce. It's the Baptists that's wrong. If it weren't for the Catholics holding up abortion and marriage in America, we'd go down the tube. Baptist church has slipped. Yeah. So they've got a mixture. They're like the Mormons. You can see them on television. If you call toll-free this number, we'll send you a new copy of the King James Bible. They will send you a Mormon Bible. That'll come later. We'll send you a King James Bible. Oh, I found it. Oh, there's forgiveness. Oh, we're family together. Oh, everything good about the Mormon church. They tell you the good side. You will not find out about their errors until you get down there, get involved, and get over your head in it. Then you'll find out about the Book of Mormon. Then you'll find out about all their errors. You'll find out that Jesus is the brother to Satan. See, you get all that doctrine later. The mixture. Now let me show you what the Scripture says there about this mixture in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Aha, they got a corrupter in the church. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, they had them preaching other Jesuses, and they had them preaching other gospels, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, meaning other than the Holy Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. They had a gospel. Good tidings. Good news, they would call it. But it's another gospel. It's not the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of works. It's the gospel of Cain. It has bypassed the blood. Be aware of those that are preaching another gospel because they have another spirit, which ye have not accepted. Don't accept it. Please bear with us, he's saying there in the end. Another gospel was being preached in the church at Corinth. But it was not the true gospel. It was a distorted one. Galatians chapter 1. And of all the books of the Bible, the book of Galatians attacks this crowd more than any. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They had left the gospel of grace, salvation by faith, and they had followed another gospel. I have seen Baptist people leave the Baptist church and join the Mormons, join the Jehovah's Witnesses, join the Church of Christ, join the Catholic Church. They've gone out and joined a little of everything. They went and followed a new and a different gospel. They believed this lie that was told to them. They didn't get it from the Bible, but they believed another gospel. And it took them out of the church. I was holding a meeting in a church years ago, and the lady was there that Sunday morning. And I said, "Ma'am, I'll see you tonight." She said, "Oh, no, I won't be back tonight." I said, "You don't live that far. You could come." She says, "No," says, "it's my practice. I attend the Baptist church Sunday morning and the Mormon church Sunday night." She said, "I don't see any difference in them." See, she done bought that another gospel. A different gospel. It is all good news. It's easy for her to just put it all together. Mix error and truth. Mingling and mixing is the devil's business. That's the way he likes to do it. He likes to mix truth and error, as it has always been, a distorted gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. Who is it with this other gospel? He states in verse 13, "For such are false apostles. They are deceitful workers. They are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They have invented their own order of apostles. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil is in the transforming business, the counterfeiting and the pretending, and so are his followers. And today we live in a time of plenty of false apostles. You can drive down the highway and see the signs. Apostolic Church. Certain church. Apostle so-and-so, pastor. They practice, as the Catholics do, apostolic succession. That as Peter, they say, being an apostle, he passed it on to the next pope. And every pope after that has been an apostle. But yet the Lord said, there's qualifications. You must have received a message directly from God for this apostleship. When the Lord died, that ended apostles. You say, "Well, how in the world did we wind up with Paul if it's required a message and a commission from God through his son Jesus Christ?" Well, the Lord took care of that by opening heaven and speaking to him out of heaven and giving him that commission. making him that 13th apostle. One born out of due time. What we'd call a Johnny come lately. But that ended it. The heaven hadn't opened, and he hadn't spoke, called, or commissioned one since. But yet we have plenty who say there have been. We have plenty of denominations, churches, and all that declare there have been. But not so. We're in another gospel, and it is a deceitful gospel. Examples of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it is called a deceitful gospel. In Galatians 4, the whole chapter deals with the gospel of rituals and ceremonies, all based upon good works. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 states that it is the gospel void of the deity of Christ. They have made him man and stole his deity with another gospel. That is the false gospel that we have today. In Galatians 1:8, that was his attack when he went to the church of Galatia. Full of Gnostics. Full of those who taught intelligence and not truth. Those that based everything on education, nothing on faith. He says, verse 8, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Anathema. Accursed. Don't listen to another gospel. There's not but one today, the gospel of grace. The only gospel he has. But yet now it's time to change. When the rapture takes place, the church is removed, we're told that we'll get another gospel. Matthew 24. The disciples gathered with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and they had two questions. Tell us when and what shall be the signs of thy coming. How do we know when you're coming back again? Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now that's not the end of all things. That will be the end of the tribulation. During the 7-year tribulation, it is not the gospel of grace anymore. The church is gone. The message will be from 144,000 sealed Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, who will be as Apostle Paul's were, standing out all over the world, preaching again the same message that was preached at first, the same gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. The king is coming. Again. The second time. You missed him the first time. You can get him the second time. The king is coming, and he will set up a kingdom. And during all the 7 years of the tribulation, Jews will turn to their Messiah. So that when Jesus comes at his second coming, all the Jews are waiting on him. And they receive him as Messiah. He defeats his enemy at Armageddon, and he sets up his throne in Jerusalem, and there we have a Jewish kingdom for 1,000 years. But he's got to prepare those Jews a second time for the king. And that's what the tribulation is for. It is to punish the unbelievers and prepare Israel to receive its king. It is terrible days, and there's nothing that will cause people to turn to God like catastrophes, calamities, hardships. Can you imagine when you read through the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials? You see, one day a third of the earth's population killed. Another time a fourth of the earth's population killed. And you see all of this, and people begging to die and cannot. He says it's a time unlike any time that's ever been on this earth. It's to do two things. Punish those unbelieving Gentiles and bring Israel, the Jews, to its knees to accept the Messiah. And when Jesus comes, they're ready for Him. They want better times. And they'll receive Him and they'll get their kingdom. So He said, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. And then I'll appear. I'll defeat the enemy. Oh, my army, the saints, will be behind me. They won't even be involved in the conflict. For out of His mouth, what a sharp, two-edged sword that slew the nations. We talk about the Word of God as a sword. There is absolutely no difference in the Word of God and the person of God. The written Word and the living Word are exactly the same. Jesus and this book are in perfect harmony. The written Word never does transgress the living Word. So Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. What is the gospel of the kingdom? The King is coming. The King is coming. That's not what we need today. The gospel of grace will end at the rapture. It'll be the King is coming. And in 7 years, they'll get their king. And they'll get their kingdom. And here He'll rule and He'll reign here on earth for that 1,000 years. But that don't end the gospel. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now, isn't this a change? In the past, only humans could carry the gospel message. Because the gospel message had been one of salvation. Angels have never experienced salvation, so they cannot preach the gospel of grace. The gospel of salvation. But here the angel is proclaiming another gospel, an everlasting gospel. The angel can proclaim this one because this is not the good news to some. But it is good news to others. What is the everlasting gospel? It is the gospel truth. Truth. Good news or bad news. Truth. That there's judgment. The everlasting gospel is a gospel of judgment. Listen to what he says. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Uh-oh. Judgment. Worship Him that made heaven and earth, and sea and the fountains of waters. The everlasting gospel that will be proclaimed by the angel is that God, real judge, He judged at Armageddon and destroyed all the enemies. And at the end of the 1,000 years, He loosed Satan. He's able to gather enough rebels to create a very large army. It is called the Last Revolt. There God pours fire out of heaven and destroys that crowd. That's another judgment. And then comes the great white throne, which is the final judgment for all unbelievers. All you can get from that day on is the everlasting gospel of judgment, that God is going to set everything in order. There is mercy There is grace in salvation. But there is no mercy and there is no grace ever found in judgment. When you or I as a believer stands before God, don't think He's going to show any favoritism. Don't think He's going to tilt the scale in any way in our favor. What we have done to Him is put out there, fire set to it. What's left, we get. If it's not there, we don't get it. He's not going to show any favoritism. There'll be no mercy, there'll be no grace in judgment. And when the unbeliever appears before Him, I care not what their argument is. They may declare, oh, there's a problem here with your book. Those works there. I don't think I've done all those things. Your books of works are not justified. Well, just a minute. We keep double-entry bookkeeping here. Let's just see. Look over there at the book of life. Uh-oh, sir. Your name is not here. Judgment. Everyone that appears at the great white throne judgment is cast into the lake of fire. No mercy, no grace. It's the everlasting gospel of judgment. It says to me, we have to be prepared. I believe that judgment is good news. I don't think God should reward the wrongdoers. And I personally do not desire to be with the unbelievers for eternity. I thank God for the separation. So there's an everlasting truth, gospel truth, that sinners will pay. From the beginning, with Cain, the first one to go to hell, all the way to the end. The gospel is the truth. God does not lie. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Shall we stand?